AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy, high today near 50. 41-year-old Bristol resident Dean Parkman has been acquitted by a Kenosha County jury of homicide by the negligent use of a motor vehicle and causing injury by reckless driving, that in reference to a fatal accident in July of 2013. Parkman was heading east on Highway 165 and just past the interstate, he went through a red light. His vehicle struck an SUV with five members of a family. A woman died, a girl was seriously hurt, three others suffered lesser injuries. The jury hearing about Parkman's seizure disorder, caused by what court records indicate was a parasitic infection in his brain. It's a condition for which he takes medication. Racine County's courtrooms, they need better sound systems. The judges also support more technology for day-to-day proceedings. That'll improve efficiency, and it'll cut down on costs. Talking with the Government Services Committee this week, Judge David Paulson suggested that an audio study be conducted. He believes his courtroom sound system may go back to the 1970s.
My microphone works, and the witness chair works. There are microphones above the attorneys from the ceiling, but they don't work. And then we have ventilation cuts in the ceiling over, right over the court reporter's head and over the jurors' heads. And the jurors have no sound where they are. So the point is we have real problems hearing.
Signs currently posted about cell phones, well, they may change to a total ban on cell phones by the public in courtrooms. That according to Judge Michael Piontek.
Major trials, they take videos of the jurors and they're texting back and forth, and we have signs up, no cell phones, but I've talked to the court officers and about we have prohibited them for certain trials, but it may come to the point where they can't bring them in at all just to avoid problems. It's an increasing problem. Everyone's got a cell phone now, and they rely on it.
Other issues discussed, security at the courthouse in general and the law center and funding the drug court. At last night's Kenosha Plan Commission meeting, there was sympathy but no support for some Kenosha area residents who say that they're being boxed in by these big distribution centers and warehouses.
First one with Gordon Foods, it was tolerable at that point. You brought Amazon in. Well, now it's a mess. It's really a safety hazard. You bring another company in, and that's just going to increase the traffic congestion and the safety hazards for the residences.
That's Marco Hellenbeck. Now, the neighbors could file a valid protest petition to force a three-quarters vote of the council for changing the zoning in that case. A popular tea company has nationwide recall efforts going. The story from reporter Al Smith.
The Sweetleaf Tea Company recalled more than 1.5 million bottles of its tea on Thursday due to the possible presence of glass fragments. The recall covers 16-ounce glass bottles of original, mint and honey, green tea with citrus, half-and-half lemonade, raspberry, and peach that were distributed nationwide between February 27th and December 6th. The company said in a statement that it had received four complaints from consumers of glass in the product, but no one reported any injuries.
The blustery wind conditions we had yesterday caused a good number of power problems for We Energies in its southeast Wisconsin service area. Among them, a line going down for Union Grove High School, which happened well before after-school activities, but school leadership wasn't so sure just when the power might come back, so they made the decision. The boys' basketball game against Westosia was postponed. It's been rescheduled to January 26th. The wrestling match against Waterford, that has to be rescheduled, a date yet to be determined. The Racine Unified School District, working with high school principals, teachers, business, community, post-secondary partners, trying to build a framework for what will be called the Academies of Racine at Case Park and Horlick. The goal to implement the model next fall. These academies are small learning communities which provide real-world experiences with local businesses and professionals, and they link schoolwork and the workplace. The first of three information meetings will take place next Monday night at 6:30 in the Park High School Theater. The next gathering Wednesday, December 16th, also at 6:30 in the Case High Theater. And the final meeting is scheduled December 17th at 7:30 p.m. That'll be in the theater at Horlick. A 53-year-old man living in a Mount Pleasant motel charged with impersonating a police officer after approaching a girl at a grocery store, asking her if she'd ever been sexually assaulted. Girl telling police that she was checking out at the store, a man walks up, tells her he's an undercover cop with the Racine Police Department assigned to a special investigative team that's looking at his sexual molestations and pedophiles. He claimed to have had recording devices in his eyes and ears, and if she or her younger sister had been assaulted and he could help her. Police had been informed earlier in the week that a man living at the Knights Inn had made some similar comments to people at various locations around the village. Joseph Koska, scheduled to appear in court for an initial appearance this afternoon. The Village of Caledonia's controversial water project geared at economic development out to the interstate, which also affects a number of folks along Highway V in Mount Pleasant. Well, that includes a December 29th public hearing for Caledonia folks to comment on special assessments yet to be considered. One young couple telling Village board members recently they'd have to sell their home to pay the assessments. The attorney representing Borzinski Brothers argued that the waterline project is specific to a business district and it should be covered by those directly involved.
It's not a local benefit to the residents along Highway V. It's not one that they asked for, and it's not one that they need. And more specifically, there is no specific benefit to our clients who have their well, who have their pond, who water their farm, and have watered their farm for decades through their own water sources and don't need this water main.
The Caledonia Board this week also awarding the contract for the village portion of the water line to A.W. Oaks in their bid of $3.1 million. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission says We Energies can sell its small coal-fired power plant in Wauwatosa to the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center. It's a natural gas burner instead of a coal burner. The medical complex includes Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and Frederick Hospital. No purchase price disclosed. An informational meeting going to be held at the Mount Pleasant Police Department COP House next Monday, December the 14th, for anybody who's interested in the English Language Learner Program. This is offered by the Racine Literacy Council. The meeting designed to get the word out to those who might benefit from English conversion classes or tutoring to help with English reading and writing skills. Once community needs are assessed, then the Racine Literacy Council will seek the help of volunteers to actually provide the tutoring services. The COP House is at 2237 Mead Street. The informational meeting begins at 6 p.m. again next Monday. Effective January 1st, the City of Racine stops providing fire rescue services to the village of Wind Point, North Bay, and Elmwood Park, which means six figures of lost revenue. But the city is going to get an almost $64,000 annual reduction when it comes to dispatch costs.
Part of the amount we paid for joint dispatch, as we've had in place for 5 years so far, went to dispatching to Elmwood Park and North Bay and Wind Point. So the fire departments or the entities that are taking over for those villages are now going to be responsible for the share of the joint dispatch costs.
City Attorney Scott Letney telling the Finance and Personnel Committee this was part of the contract language. A rezoning request to allow the Shalom Center to open a homeless shelter and related services at a building on 39th Avenue got the approval of the City Council this week. One of two men who talked about the INS program, which is the rotation of churches providing shelter during the winter months, and urging the alderman to support this project was Michael Christensen. Says he became homeless after becoming incarcerated, but while using the INS program, able to save enough money to afford a place to stay, although it was not easy.
It was so hard because I'd have to walk like an hour to work, an hour back from work, and I wouldn't get out of work till 2:30. So 4 o'clock in the morning when I get to the INS, sometimes I made it to the wrong church. So then I'd have to go sleep somewhere else or stay awake. So there's so many things that the INS provided for me and helped me, and it could be better if this program right now was established.
Shalom Center Executive Director Lynn B. says that it's hoped that $1.8 million can be raised in the next 6 months so that the new shelter can be open before next winter. When city officials in Kenosha were looking at expanding the existing downtown streetcar system, some $9 million in federal funding was available to do it with a timeline, and which may be now repurposed to expand the city bus system. The Federal Transit Administration responded positively to a formal request by Mayor Keith Bosman. The Kenosha News indicates the approval would require some other agencies backing the move under the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program, better known as CMAQ. Repurposing the federal grant money from the streetcar project to expand the bus service, well, that was suggested by former Mayor John Antaramian. He, of course, is a candidate for the job that Bosman is leaving next spring. Burlington Area School District officials hired an architectural firm to look at their facilities and recommend a plan of action for repairs, upgrades, even replacements if need be, to which one of the Board of Education's committees recently got a status update. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Not quite the same as Racine Unified with its Civil War-era facilities, but Burlington's Karcher Middle School has parts of the original building dating back to the 1920s. The architect's preliminary report says Karcher presents the biggest challenges, including an almost 60-year-old heating system. Burlington High School and Winkler Elementary are both in their mid-teens, the newest of the facilities, and they are showing signs of wear. MyRacineCounty.com says the report outlines everything from cosmetic to critical repairs, remodeling and remediation at Burlington area schools, with the completed data going into a master plan. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
And well-known insurance representative and local sporting enthusiast Roger Abbott being remembered after his passing this week at the age of 77. Abbott pitched for many years on the Orth Abbott City softball teams. Services are next Tuesday through the Marsh Meredith Nacklin Funeral Home in downtown Racine. Our AccuWeather forecast, this afternoon partly cloudy, the high near 50. I'm Tom Karkel, WRJN News.